It's time now for Thursday Afternoon Talk. We're going to hear about the Cascadia Center for Leadership with our host, Holly Carter, coming right up.
Hello and good evening, listening audience. Feels really nice this evening, the smells and the sounds and the feel of the fall coming into the air. Hope you all are enjoying that. And I wanted to introduce tonight's guests. We are joined this evening by Mary Galinas and Roger James, who are co-directors of the Cascadia Leadership Program. You guys want to say hello and let the listening audience hear your voices?
Hi, Holly.
Hello, hey, Holly.
How are you?
We're great. It's nice to have a little rain come into our existence here.
Doesn't it feel good? My skin feels way better.
Yeah, mine too.
I just can feel a whole sense of calm kind of come over me. Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we're here. Well, we have a half an hour tonight and wanted to talk a lot about the Cascadia Center for Leadership, what it is, who it's for, what it does for the community, why it exists. So let's start with what is the Cascadia Center for Leadership, and what's your elevator pitch?
There are so few elevators in Humboldt County. It's very short.
Okay, let's do. I mean, a small flight of stairs.
Yeah, a small flight. So, Cascadia Center for Leadership is a program that is designed to help leaders in all sectors, you know, business, not government, not-for-profit, education, healthcare, and communities, to help leaders be more effective in getting done what they want to get done in their world, and to do it collaboratively with other people in service of the greater good. That's in essence what it is. And it's a 10-day program that happens annually and is spread over 5 months, and the 10 days happen in two-day chunks. So that's basically what it is. It's a program that was created by Julie Fulkerson and Kathy Moxon in 1999. In 2000 was the first session, and we've graduated close to 500 people from this program, and many wonderful people from Southern Humboldt have graduated from Cascadia.
I was looking at that, and we were talking a little bit earlier about some of the people in my local community who have graduated and gone on to do pretty amazing things. Not that they weren't amazing already, but who are
exactly
vital in our community. But also it made me wonder if the participants can only come from Humboldt or if people can join this program from far away.
Oh, well, yes, they come from Del Norte, and I don't think we've ever had anyone from Mendocino, but we have had people from Trinity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think from far away, we've actually talked over the years about expanding the geographic area that we appeal to. There are two reasons that we haven't done that. One of them is that it would be prohibitively expensive for people to come from out of the area, given that, you know, it's 2 days every two or three weeks they would have to fly in. The cost of travel expenses, it would be very high. The other is that this program was really designed to create common sets of knowledge, concepts, tools, skills for our region. So we're trying to focus on how to have a cumulative impact on how well we manage, we meaning all of us citizens, manage in our roles as leaders in communities, in our organizations, in our families, so that we can see an upgrade in capability and outcomes over time.
So what I'm hearing in that also is that a side benefit of keeping it somewhat local or geographically central is that you're building community while you're building your own skills.
Precisely.
It makes me have two questions, because I was going to talk, I was hoping we could talk about some of the benefits on the personal level and on the community level, but it made me just wonder right now if we could talk a little bit about what does leadership mean? And partially because wondering about how people could self-assess if this was a appropriate program for them to get into or recommend to someone else. But so how do you define leadership?
Well, I think I said it basically in the when I was talking about Cascadia, which is working with others to get good things done for your community or your organization. So we don't have a prescribed definition of what a good leader is. I mean, Roger and I have a deep background in developing leaders and working with leaders for many decades now, and we're very familiar with the literature and the research about leadership. And what we know is that there is no right definition of leadership. The way we think about it is, how can we help individuals both understand and develop their gifts and talents so they can achieve what they want to achieve in both in their lives and in their work life and in their community life? Mm. So would you say it differently, Raj?
Yeah, it's a great question, Holly. One of our favorite authors and authors who focus on leadership, this guy named Parker Palmer, and his underlying thesis for everything is you can't not lead. That at any time when you are in interaction with other people or you're creating products and services and ideas, you are inevitably going to influence people, and that is a form of leadership. I think what people, participants often are reluctant to think of themselves as leaders because it sounds, it can feel like putting on an uncomfortable suit that sounds like it might be pretentious or arrogant to think of yourself as a leader, but we all lead all the time. The question is, how consciously do we make the choices about what we want to achieve in working with other people and what behaviors are required for us to have that impact?
What are some behaviors that you might look for if you were going to recommend this to somebody? I've heard of people, like I had a friend who said, oh, well, this other person was really trying to encourage me to do it. And I'm thinking about people who I think of as leaders. What kind of qualities would you see in someone else or maybe be able to see in yourself? Because I think you're really right that some people might not jump to call themselves a leader because you're just doing what you're doing and feeling excited about it. So to me, there's a piece that's about authenticity.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really being, God, it sounds so simplistic to say, but it's really hard to do to be the best of who you are, you know, bring the best of who you are to every situation you're in. Yeah. So, I mean, I think if, you know, whoever is listening this evening, you know, if they're thinking that they would, you know, like to be more effective in their role at work or in the community, or if they one of the benefits that people often say of the people who go through Cascadia is they actually become more effective with their families and in their primary relationships. So the benefits are really wide and I think deep. So, you know, if you're thinking that you want to, you know, deepen your understanding of who you are, increase your understanding of how and your ability to be more, as I said, effective. You know, are you interested in knowing how to build an effective team? Do you want to know how to plan and lead an effective meeting? Do you want to know how to conduct a difficult conversation? Ask better questions, listen more effectively to others. Are you interested in figuring out, well, gosh, how do I make my team at work or my organization as a whole be more effective and productive? You know, am I interested in creating change in my community? So if any of those ring true for anybody who's listening, I think Cascadia would be a wonderful place to do that.
One of the things that I'm hearing in that is that I think I came even to this conversation thinking about leadership in terms of community service, but that it's just so applicable anywhere. So people who are maybe finding themselves in a new position in their work life, you know, team building, that might be an appropriate skill building set here, like management kind of development as well. And then what I've seen from people who have gone through this program is that it could make you more effective in that realm and in the way that you're thinking about what you do and what your maybe group does to affect the larger community.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, Holly.
That's awesome. Yeah. I
think one of the things that most of us don't have a venue for is to really think through what are we trying to achieve in our lives? What is the legacy that we want to leave? And what are we doing now to help move toward achievement of that legacy? And then to have a place to have deep conversations with people about what they're trying to get done, what's working, what's not working. Tools, tips, knowledge that allow you to make more conscious choices about how you conduct yourself on a day-to-day basis. I know that's one of the, I know you didn't ask this, but one of the reasons that I have stayed connected with Cascadia and consider it one of the great joys of my life is that it allows me the time and space to have conversations with people that make me more effective. And I learn constantly from the remarkable people who choose to dedicate time and resources to upgrade their skills and upgrade themselves as individual contributors and leaders. I just learn a ton from them every time we do the session, and I find it deeply encouraging mm-hmm. that there are people who are willing to spend the time and energy to make themselves better contributors to the society that we want to create in this region.
Yeah, and I guess what, as I listen to you, Roger, you know, when I think about all the work that you do, Holly, as well as a lot of your friends and colleagues in Southern Humboldt, and friends and colleagues around the world, I think we are at a, I hope, at a transitional time where, and I hope Cascadia is part of this, inviting people to step up, inviting people to reconsider who they are and the impact they're having on everyone around them so that all of us get better at communicating across differences, you know, working together to create a future that we can all be proud of, passing on to our children and our children's children. You know, learning how to, even when we're having conversations with people whose opinions set our hair on fire.
I'd say especially then.
How can we remain in relationship with them so that we can at least begin to understand one another? You know, we might never agree, but the understanding can build bridges that can create a way forward for us together.
I think you really hit something that I think about a lot on the head there, where we've talked about this on different places where I've spoken, I guess, on the radio, and about a concept of othering and being able to remain in relationship with people. We live in a fairly small community and especially people who are active in community together. Sometimes we come up with things that we have differences in our opinions. And unfortunately there's some historical aspects in our communities that have kept, I don't know, maybe a Band-Aid on things where we, so getting to take that off and do some healing and just shift your own perspective to be able to at least be in relationship, like you said, or remain open to other aspects of a person's opinion or action in the world. Because we're all here, kind of doing the best we can.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important part, Holly, of and why Cascadia has had some impact here. We are a very small number of people in a very large area. And when we first moved here from the Bay Area, it was a revelation how things get done here. They are done on the basis of relationships and networks of relationships more than you would find in most other places in the United States, certainly. The ability to manage relationships effectively over time becomes way more important here than it would be if you lived in Oakland, because, you know, if things don't work out in a relationship in Oakland, you just move on. But you can't move on here. There are people who are living in your neck of the woods who have decades of experience with each other, not always positive. And how do you make those relationships fresh, pull the Band-Aid off, get some healing so that you can move forward together with all of the history that remains present for so many people in a small community?
Absolutely. Well, I want to talk a little bit about the nuts and bolts of this program. We have about 10 minutes left. And we're talking tonight with the co-directors of the Cascadia Leadership for... Wait, did I just call that wrong? Oh, boy.
Cascadia Center for Leadership. That's
Thank you. Mary Galinas and Roger James. And I wanted to talk a little bit about, if people are feeling moved to find out more, there is something that you said in our conversation earlier, is that there's more interest than there are spaces in each program. And again, this is it's a 10-day program spread out over months. So it's 2 days at a time. And it seems like in each kind of 2-day section, you focus on a different aspect. But if somebody's interested, what is that process like to show that interest and to maybe join? Is there an application process?
Yes, there is an application process. And the deadline for applications is November 13th. The place to apply is at www.cascadialeadership.org. That's all kind of one word strung together, no spaces, no capitals. It's cascadialeadership.org. Or they can call the number at the Humboldt Area Foundation, which is 442-2993, and ask to speak to Heidi Terbrack. One of our sponsoring agencies is the Humboldt Area Foundation. We are very grateful to them and to the board of directors, the staff and to the board of directors, who provide partial funding for this program and really support it with the actual physical location where we conduct it at the Humboldt Area Foundation in Bayside, and they provide administrative support. So as I said, this program was created by Julie Fulkerson and Kathy Moxon under the auspices of the Humboldt Area Foundation. Gosh, it's close to 18 years now.
Yep.
So under their wise leadership and guidance. So that's where to apply. The program starts January 18th. There is work that we ask people to do, reading and some application work we ask people to do in between each session. So it's not just the 2 days. There's work actually, a couple of hours of work in between each of the sessions.
Another day or half day? Or would it be, just so people can kind of self-assess and see if they can fit this into their world this year?
The 2 days are full 2 days, 9 to 4:30.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And they're at the Humboldt Area Foundation on Indianola Road in Bayside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say if listeners are interested, be sure to get your application in by the deadline, because we typically have far more people apply than we can accept. And because of that, it's really important to take the application process seriously. We need to really know your answers to the questions that are on the form. Should also say that there are partial scholarships mm-hmm. available. We have a budget that allows us to help with tuition for a limited number of people. So if you need any financial support, and be sure to indicate that on the application. And Mary didn't say it, I don't think, but it's in the application, it's really clear that you need to make a commitment to be there for all 10 days and mm-hmm. to do the work between the sessions. It's because it's a cohort of 28 people, they build very, very strong relationships that not only during that time, but professional and personal relationships that continue after the session is done. And it's just unfair and inappropriate to not be there fully when everybody else has committed to doing it. So what people should make sure they look at their calendars and know that they really can be there, heart, body, mind, and soul.
It's time to block out 2018. If you haven't bought a 2018 calendar, you might want to order it while you're applying. Oh, boy. I did have a question, and I think this might be getting close to the end of our time together, but you said that there's questions on the application, and I was curious if you could give an example of one of the questions.
Some of the questions are, what do you hope to achieve? What do you hope to learn? How do you hope to apply what you've learned? Where do you want to apply it? What gifts are you bringing that you'd like to contribute to Cascadia? What else? I can't remember, Rod.
I can't remember if it's asked directly, but it's basically, so what have you been doing? How have you been applying your leadership skills? What roles have you?
Where are you coming
have you
from?
Played or are you playing? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that. Where you go?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do I have a minute, Holly, because I'd like to highlight some of the other faculty members.
Oh, fantastic.
Do I have time to do that?
Yes, that'd be great. Okay. I might ask you if we have time at the end to answer one of those questions yourself. So just think about, I was thinking I might ask you all also to answer one of those questions yourself. So let's talk about some of the other people, and then we'll come back to that if we have time.
Okay. Yeah, I see where you're going, or hear where you're going. So other faculty, in addition to Roger and I, are Heather Equinos of Equinos Consulting, who is a very accomplished consultant, facilitator, and graphic recorder in our region. The other person is Robert Maurer, who is on the faculty at the UCLA School of Medicine. He comes up and does a fabulous day with us on the research he's done over many years on the habits of or practices of highly successful people, successful in both jobs, relationships, and work. And Julie Fulkerson always does, because she's our founder, always does a very inspirational opening on the first morning. So those are the, and we usually have two community leaders come in at some point to talk to us about what they're trying to get done in the community and how, you know, what they're learning about how to create change. So it's not just Roger and I. It's really several other players that are important.
We are in a really interesting climate of potential and leadership development, I guess. It would be the way that I think about it. There's a lot going on in the world that's asking us to step up to it. So thank you for hosting this space, for one, and for bringing your own skills. So let's go back to those questions real quick, and maybe one of the ones that you asked was, what do you see coming for yourself in the next year in terms of your own development, for leadership development or community engagement?
You mean in terms of what we're learning or what our work is? Or?
Yeah, I think what's some of your goals for what you would like to put out into the world this year?
Oh, well, great question,
great
Holly.
Question.
Thank you.
Yeah, I can say for myself that it's that's a question I'm asking myself right now. It's you know, both of us have been doing this long enough that we have gray hair, and
so do I.
Yeah, well, there you go. Well, mine is gray and sparse. So there you go. It's real. I think it's a living question for me of how best to apply my energies at this point in my life, and particularly in the unprecedented situation we find ourselves in as a nation, being so astonishingly polarized, and encouraged to be polarized by some of our leaders. So I'm really looking actively at that right now. Part of it is continuing to do client work, you know, helping the people who serve us all to be clear about the direction and how to engage employees and community members in making their work successful. Part of it, for me, I've just, Mary and I spend a lot of time hiking, and I've just decided that one of the things that's really important to me is to support the development of trails in our region. So I'm working with the Humboldt Bay Trail working group, and we'll work with the funding arm of that quite a bit in the next year to really encourage us all to have sacred space outdoors where we can enjoy nature and refresh ourselves so that we can engage more successfully, particularly in difficult conversations with people who see the world differently from the way we do.
That's beautiful. We have about 30 seconds left for Mary to tell us about what she'd like to put out in the world.
So my intention, which I'm always questing on getting better at, is how can I more ably create safe space for people and help them have meaningful conversations about things that matter so they can do good things in the world together. So I'm continuing my own development as a practitioner and as a leader to be a better teacher, to be a better consultant, to be a better facilitator. So that's what I continue to focus on. And I'm going to a workshop next week with colleagues and friends, the title of which is Leading as Sacred Practice.
Mm.
That says it all to me.
That's beautiful. Well, I want to thank you both for making the time to share this coming year's Cascadia Leadership Center for Leadership program, and also just for the work that you do in training us up and putting out good workers and good work into the world. So I hope everyone has a great evening, and we'll come back again and talk to you soon.
Oh, thank you, Holly.
Thank you so much.
Holly.
All right.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And you have been listening to Thursday Afternoon Talk right here on the Mighty Mud, KMUD, Garberville, KMUE, Eureka, KLAI, Laytonville. That was Holly Carter hosting, and you were hearing about the Cascadia Center for Leadership. KMUD is proudly supported by Mother Earth Engineering. Mother Earth Engineering is 100% woman-owned civil environmental engineering company in Arcata. Mother Earth Engineering can help with licensed engineering services for your land, water, and other projects. Permits, ponds, septic, grading, roads, restoration, and much more. They can be reached at 633-8321 or on the web at MotherEarthEngineering.com. Well, I'm Johnny, and I'm your engineer for the next couple